quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and Stola First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of this place, and we thank them for their stewardship. This hour of CJSF programming is hosted by me, Leslie, and I want to talk to you a little bit today about a really cool exhibition that I went to at the Chinese Canadian Museum in Chinatown called Dream Factory, Canto Pop, Mando Pop of the 1980s to the 2000s. This is an exhibition that I actually went to last year already. It is still running until August 23rd, so just a few weeks, just about a month until it is going to be closed over at the museum. But I wanted to take the opportunity today to talk a little bit about this particular exhibition because, you know, it's very cool. It got me thinking about a lot of things, I guess, as somebody who, one, is of the Chinese diaspora, and two, is making observations, I guess, about the increased attention on East and Southeast Asian popular music in the West. And yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Mind you, of course, I'm not like a music historian. I'm not like, you know, a museum gallery worker or anything like that. I'm not a cultural critic. I just have a microphone, you know? And not everything that I say should be taken seriously because I'm just babbling. But I really encourage you to maybe consider checking out this exhibition if you are also into those things. And if, honestly, if you just like enjoy pop music in general, it's really a cool time. So I'm going to be talking about that this hour, and I will be playing, obviously, some music of the Canto Pop and Mando Pop oeuvre, and of that specific era of the 1980s to the 2000s. I grew up listening to many of these musicians, and it was kind of like a good opportunity for me to sort of dive more into the music that of my childhood, essentially, because I have played Canto Pop and Mando Pop on Typically Tuesdays before at many times, but I don't think I've ever been able to put together a playlist that was solely focused on that, and also which asked me to, I don't know, explore more of those genres and dig a little bit deeper into my barrel of memories, I guess. So strap in. We're going to start off today with Teresa Tung, who is my dad's favorite musician. the Legion. Shout out to him. And if you're not aware of who she is, how do I summarize her really quickly? Like, she was like the mega star of East and Southeast Asian music from the 1970s to the 80s. And everybody, like, obviously not everybody, but so many people still love her music. Her stardom was so great. It was so impactful that she was singing in not only Mandarin, not only in Taiwanese Hokkien, but also in Cantonese, in Japanese, in Bahasa, and so on and so forth. And this is part of the pattern that you are going to see as I talk today more about this exhibition, just how wide-reaching and how deeply loved Cantopop and Mandopop of this era was all around Asia and all across the Chinese diaspora. But we're going to start off with a track by her. This is called 你怎么说? Enjoy.
She's 挥刀
This is Bird Note. To the untrained eye, the osprey looks just like a bird of prey should. Talons, hooked beak, vivid yellow eyes. But it also has some characteristics that make it truly unique among raptors, especially when catching fish. In common with most raptors, it has four long toes, three in front and one in back. As the bird reaches for a fish, its outer front toe swivels to the rear, giving it two grasping talons front and back. And those toes are lined with short, stiff spikes for extra grip. The osprey's nostrils shut tight as it hits the water. Then, as it ascends, it shakes itself off, shedding water easily thanks to its oily feathers. In fact, it's the only raptor that has this oily plumage. Its long, slender, arched wings help the osprey get clear of the water, too, as it takes flight with the fish's head facing the front, the most aerodynamically efficient position. This osprey we see today, just one species worldwide, has changed little since tens of millions of years ago, when its ancestors diverged onto a unique evolutionary track, distinct from eagles and hawks, suggesting that over this period, it has remained particularly well-suited to its environment, thanks to these adaptations. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Support for Bird Note is provided by Jerry Tone and Martha Wyckoff from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Roman Tam with Siule Feito. I'm Leslie, and I am your host for this hour of CJSF programming. And I'm going to be talking about an exhibition that I saw at the Chinese Canadian Museum, and discussing a little bit about it and some further reflections about East Asian popular music and global recognition discourse, etc., etc. I hate the word discourse now. I wish I said something different. I don't have the brain powder to think of anything different. Brain powder? Did I just say brain powder? Okay, forget it. Doesn't matter. I saw Dream Factory at the Chinese Canadian Museum over in Chinatown, and it's about cantopop and mandopop of the 1980s to the 2000s. This era is considered the golden era of cantopop and mandopop. And as written on the pamphlet, it is an immersive exhibition tracing this particular era through the lens of Chinese Canadian experience, curated by Dr. Melissa Lee with Yilin Chen and Bofei Zhang. The exhibition explores how Chinese pop music shaped diasporic identity and cultural imagination from the 1980s to the 2000s. And so there are several parts in the exhibition, several components. It's a very multi-sensorial, multimedia experience. There is obviously music. There's literally places throughout the exhibition where there are music listening stations, and you can listen to playlists curated by the curators on eight themes that they chose. That part is very, very cool, actually. The only piece of feedback that I have for that specific part of the exhibit is that I wish that there was something that would allow you to know which song was playing, because there is paper, there's like a paper music menu at each station, but if you don't read Chinese, it's a little bit difficult to tell what song is what. There's also a great film by the Black Rhino Collective called We Are Who We Are, and explores the connections between Cantopop pop music and Vancouver through the influence of pop star Leslie Cheung, who I got my namesake from. He and I are both queer Cantonese icons. I don't even know if I can use the term Cantonese to describe myself, because I'm not, my family aren't from Hong Kong, but we are from the Cantonese-speaking region of China. Anyways, doesn't matter. That's for another day. I really enjoyed that film. I really loved how tender it was. Leslie Cheung is a little bit of a complicated figure, actually. Without getting too much into it, he's deeply loved by a lot of people. His nickname in the, I mean, like, in, you know, amongst circles who know about Cantopop at all, his nickname is Koko, which means older brother in Cantonese, and it just highlights so much of his persona and that the nature of the parasocial relationships that he had with his fandom and audiences. This, like, kind, courageous, playful figure who had a lot of humility, and who was like a genuinely like a good role model, but you know, he led a somewhat complicated life. Anyways, neither here nor there, I really loved how the film really just wanted to emphasize how deeply loved and appreciated he was by his fandom. And I appreciated really how they highlighted Vancouver in that film. Leslie Cheung actually immigrated to Vancouver, became a Canadian citizen here, I believe. And he actually has like this park bench in Stanley Park that his fans bought in his memory. And it was rumored to be like that specific spot is the place where he would go sightseeing at Stanley Park, which was like an activity that he really loved. We can put a pin in that. We can put a pin in diaspora and fandom, because I really want to talk about that later on. And I mean, one of the other highlights of this exhibition, and there are so many more, but there is this part also where the curators hired Chinese Canadian costume designers to recreate iconic costumes by these pop idols from their concerts and from like their ads and things like that. And it's really, really lovely. You can really see how much love these creators have for their favorite performer, and all of the thought that they put into each element of recreating those looks. There's like this film, on the level above Dream Factory, that talks about this. It's also just really cool to see like good costuming, right? For me, it also just really highlighted just how important costuming is to persona. And, you know, it's just the same with like any other kind of like rock star, pop star who you yourself might like, you know, like your Freddie Mercury's, Prince, you know, Madonna, Twice, etc., right? Like, the look is so crucial to persona, so crucial to, you know, that particular era of like their artistry, etc. And it's just really, really cool. These are just my favorite highlights of the exhibition. I think that you should go check out the exhibition itself to see the rest of it, because it is very impressive. It, again, it's like this multi-sensorial, like immersive experience, and it's very, very exciting. Even if you know nothing about Cantopop or Mandopop, actually. But we're going to play some music for now. This track is kind of sad, I'm not going to lie. There's something about Cantopop and Mandopop in that everybody just loves a ballad. And here's one for you again. Here's Jackie Chan with 等你等到我心痛. It's very sad. I hope you enjoy.
来将心窝占据 让我继续等下去 等你等到我心碎 星星今晚伴我醉 就像同情我空虚 又在雨中等你 痴痴的我已心碎 眼眶的雨渐隐退人消失空里去等你等你等你一世一世等你我真的真的不愿死恨上当天的一切能回味想你想你苦痛等你等到心痛无情的北风将我吹送 等你等到我心碎始终不见旧爱侣直掉别受各一对是我错失的字句把你伤透我不对今晚请你念过去来将心窝占据 等到我心碎 星星今晚伴我醉 就像同情我空虚 又在雨中等你 痴痴的我心已碎 眼眶的雨渐隐退 人消失空里去
is Bird Note. When a pair of western grebes decides it's time to mate, It's as if they know they have an audience for the performance they're about to give. On the still waters of an alkaline lake, they call loudly and approach one another. Each bird curves, then straightens its long neck gracefully. They then face each other, necks on the water's surface, their bills flipping up drops of water. If attraction prevails, they rush together and off they go across the water, running on the surface side by side. Standing straight up with necks held high and feet churning like propellers, they no longer look much like grebes, more like participants in Tchaikovsky's ballet Swan Lake. After their lengthy pas de deux, with wings extended like parallel sails, they plunge below the surface. What follows is the weed ceremony, each bird diving to pick up a beakful of soft vegetation. The grebes then stand up in the water, face one another, press tightly together, then drop the plants and preen. The whole courtship sequence may begin again at any time, building in intensity as spring progresses and the pair makes ready to start a new generation. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
I'm